Hi everyone, welcome to the Bootstrap MBA. I'm Jacob Greenfeld, and in this show I document my journey towards an independent MBA-type education that is focused on building bootstrap businesses. Over the course of the next 12 months, I will try to learn everything I can about ideation, software development, and marketing. And I will apply what I've learned by launching a new product each month. Thanks for joining me. Welcome. Hi. So another month has passed, and therefore it's time for another update from me about my little Bootstrap MBA experiment. And quite a lot of things have happened. Of course, not as much as I've hoped to, but yeah, there's some progress, and this is better than nothing. And there hasn't been as much progress as I would like to, because I've been on holiday for a week, and originally my plan was to go on holiday the first week of October, but due to the whole corona thing, it was cancelled. And so really spontaneously, my girlfriend and I decided to do some holiday locally here, and I really did no work, did no reading, and was just relaxing. But nevertheless, I managed to launch my first real project yesterday. If you follow me on Twitter or wherever, you probably know that it's called MakerReads. It's available at makerreads.com. So like Goodreads, but Maker instead of Good. And it's a really simple app, if you want, that allows the user to discover great books that are specifically targeted at makers, at entrepreneurs, at hackers. And so it's a directory with a curated list of books. And then there are lots of filters that you can use in order to find the right book for your given circumstances. So for example, if you want to improve your copywriting, you can use a copywriting filter, and then you can click on another filter in order to just see new books and cheap books, and also only books for which an audiobook isn't available. And then you really get a targeted recommendation. And additionally to these, well, let's say hard facts, like the price and the length of a book, I've also collected data on how popular different books are. And I collected data from the mainstream platforms like Goodreads and Amazon. But also, and more importantly, I had a look at which kind of books are recommended over and over again on niche platforms like Indie Hackers, Product Hunt, and Hacker News. And I collected this data using Python and a bit of outsourcing. So I just tried to find out how often different books are mentioned, and then additionally how they are rated on different platforms, and then use this data in order to calculate and what I call a maker awareness score and mainstream awareness score, and also my mainstream popularity score and a maker popularity score. So yeah, I personally use MakerReads currently, and already discovered a few nice books through it. And I, to be honest, I wasn't sure if others would find it useful, but it was a project that really wasn't planned as it is. It just kind of happened, so I'm not really sure. So I wanted to do, of course, like everyone else, everything systematically. So create a big list of ideas and then rank them and rate, and then just do the best possible idea. And yeah, I already failed with my first project in that regard, because it was really just a spontaneous idea where I thought, hey, that would be cool. It's not a lot of work, and maybe others will like it too. And it's scratching my own itch, and there's no money to be made. And yeah, it's not a great business idea. It's not a business at all. It's just a project. But I originally started this because I learned Rails last month. This is what I spent most of my time doing. And so I wanted to have a really simple project where I can put my Rails skills to use. And this is why I decided to start maker reads. But then the first thing I wanted to figure out is how can I actually do this dynamic filtering. So because, as I mentioned, this is really the one and only feature of the whole site, that you can filter the different books quite specifically. So, and I didn't want that the site had to reload each time you applied a new filter, because this is super annoying. And I therefore just Googled how to make dynamic filtering, and I first stumbled upon Alpine.js, which looked cool and was recommended in a few places, so I gave it a shot. But really, really quickly, I noticed its limitations, so I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do with it, because if I remember correctly, the problem I had and wasn't able to solve, and lots of other people have it too, is that you can't pass variables between different components around. So maybe there is a way around it, but it's really complicated and it's not native, so you don't know when it's going to break. And this is when I moved away really quickly, because for me it's really the most basic thing to be able to pass data from one component, like a sidebar which has different filters, to my actual filter list. So, but in Alpine.js I wasn't able to do this, at least not easily. And this is when I moved on to Vue.js. And Vue.js is, I think, quite similar, so I didn't find it difficult to switch. And I really liked what I saw from Vue.js. It was super easy, everything straightforward. My site is super simple, so I didn't really test any extreme features. It's really, really basic, but you get the basics right, and everything was easy, and I'm quite happy that I decided to use it. So, and now the funny thing is, as I mentioned, I wanted to put my Rails skills to use, but then as I started with this dynamic filtering thing, and just spent all my time doing front-end stuff, and eventually I noticed, hey, what else do I need, right? It's already working as I imagined it, right? I have this list of books and it's dynamically filtered, and this is really the minimum that I wanted to create, and nothing else is needed. So quite accidentally, I built a spa app, as it's called, a single page application, because as I mentioned, I didn't want page reload, so everything is done dynamically. And in this sense, there's just one page and everything you want is pulled in dynamically. So it's a spa app, and not what I planned to do. I didn't use any Rails code. I did the scraping using Python and everything else in Vue. Additionally, I also used Tailwind to make it look nicer, but this is really the whole stack, Python for the scraping stuff, and Vue for making it dynamic, and Tailwind to make it look pretty. And then once I finished the site, or had it on a level where I thought it would be quite okay, I decided to launch it. And I think it took me around 7 days or so to build the whole thing, including the data collection. And of course, collecting the data was most of the work. Most of my time was spent building Python functions to scrape the data and polishing the data, make it consistent and all these kind of stuff, make it useful. And I then hesitated for whatever reason to make it public. I really, as it happens quite often to me, while I'm building something, I'm super passionate and doing nothing else, and it's the most important thing in the world for me. But once it's finished, I simply forgot about it, and it's no longer, I don't think anymore it's a great idea. I just think, oh, okay, that was just a phase, right? I wouldn't say that I forgot about it, but I just let it sit on my server. I had it online. I pushed it to Netlify. So I uploaded it to GitHub and then to Netlify. I had a domain already bought and it was online, but I didn't share it with anyone. So, and yeah, then I went to holiday and went back and did a few other things. And yeah, then one morning I thought, hey, I really should make it public because I have this commitment to launch a new project each month and I don't have anything else ready this month, so let's do it. And yeah, I think I overcomplicated things because I read a lot of things about how to launch stuff. So there's all this kind of advice that you need to find someone who hunts, for example, who posts your stuff to Product Hunt so you can reach out to people. And also there's advice on when to post your stuff in order to give it the maximum exposure, how to prepare the images, all complicated stuff. And I was kind of stuck in the usual phase of analysis paralysis. So I then really just got fed up because of my commitment to really launch something this month. I just started clicking through Product Hunt and just wanted to figure out what is really necessary here, and then clicked through the various pages. And then I had another look at the advice I read about the perfect time to post, and it was, I think, in the book Make by Peter Levels, and he recommends to post at 12, so at midnight at PST time, so at the time where the Product Hunt office is, because at this time the list for the day is resetted, and if you post your project at this time, it has the longest amount of time to gather votes, so it's the perfect time. And then I had a look at Google. I googled 12 a.m. PST and what it was in terms of my time zone, and it turned out it was just half an hour later where it was. It's just 9 a.m. for me here. And so as I filled out the Product Hunt form, I noticed that it was almost the perfect time, and this is when I just pulled the trigger and published it without thinking much about it. I just did a few screenshots and uploaded it, and then I shared it on Twitter, and it turned out that this strategy, even though it was totally, well, suboptimal, I would say, turned out quite well because it gathered around 140 upvotes, I think, on Product Hunt, and I got really nice feedback on Indie Hacker and also on Twitter. And so I would say it was really a successful launch, even though I had no idea what I was doing. And yeah, as usual, the lesson is that it doesn't make sense to overcomplicate things, and just pulling the trigger and putting stuff out there is the best strategy. But also I think that it really helped. I think that I posted almost accidentally at the right time, and also that I immediately posted the link on Twitter and also in the MakerLurk Telegram group. And this really helped to gather, I think, around 5 upvotes in the first 5 minutes. And this is also what is recommended in the Makebook by Peter Levels, that it's really important to gather just a handful of upvotes in the first few minutes, because this puts you above the crowd, because there are, I don't know, lots, dozens of products submitted. But if you can just get a few upvotes in the first 3 minutes, you're already above all of them. And this is, yeah, as in many cases, the guys who are already strong get bigger and stronger. And it's the same with products on Product Hunt, because once you are on the front page, of course, you will gather more votes as the people at the bottom, because your stuff is, well, at the top and everyone sees it. So yeah, I'm really, really happy with the outcome, though, because even though I know that MakerReads currently is not a huge project. It's not impressive by any means. It's not a business. It's just a tiny side project. And I just thought it was a cool idea that I'm able to do. And so I just did it. But yeah, I have a lot of ideas what I would love to do under this whole umbrella of the Maker Reads umbrella, because currently, as I said, it's just a filter mechanism for books. So you can, it's just a book recommendation engine, but it's not personalized or anything. And yeah, I kept thinking about Goodreads because it's a really popular service, but no one really loves it, right? It tries to do a lot of things, but it's not really good at most of them. So I made a list of jobs that Goodreads wants to do. For example, it wants to be a digital bookshelf. It wants to connect authors with readers. It wants to provide book recommendations. And yeah, in some sense, Goodreads does these jobs, but it does it very well. So, and I think there's a huge opportunity to improve on what Goodreads is doing. And I focus really just on a tiny, tiny, tiny part of it so far. So with Maker Reads, it's of course not a Goodreads competitor or anything. And yeah, I've noticed this when I did some research on related projects that a lot of people have tried to build Goodreads clones, and basically most of the time they had similar features as Goodreads and just a more pretty design. And obviously this is not enough. So most of these projects were already dead, and those who weren't dead are clearly not actively maintained anymore. So it's an idea that many people have, but no one was able so far to execute it really well and build a serious competitor. And of course, Goodreads has Amazon in the background. So it was bought by Amazon. They have a lot of money and stuff in the background. And it would be delusional to think that as a tiny solo developer, you can compete with that. However, I think that if I focus on just tiny aspects, that it's quite easy to do things better. And so this could mean, for example, as in my case, to focus in terms of the content. So because Goodreads is a platform for any type of book. So there you have the fiction books, the nonfiction books, and in these categories, thousands of subcategories. So it's not targeted at anyone in specifically. And you notice this with ratings, because, and this is what a lot of people complain about, is that most of the reviewers have an entry-level taste. And this is why you get recommended Harry Potter and, the usual kind of books over and over again, and you don't get high-quality recommendations because most of the people have an entry-level taste. But if you're a really, let's say, an advanced-level entrepreneur or even a beginner entrepreneur, you probably have a different kind of interest than your average Goodreads reader. So it's not really that useful. And also, it's not just the scope in terms of the content, in terms of the book categories that are covered, but also in terms of the features, because Goodreads just wants to do everything. So connecting readers with readers, authors with readers, book recommendations. And yeah, it's, I think, too much. And nothing is done really well. And I will run several experiments in the coming months to build alternatives for features that I think could be amazing if they are done right. And I will try to do them right again under the Maker Reads umbrella. So, and keeping it focused on entrepreneurs, on makers, on hackers who like to read. So this will be my target group, because I know how to reach them. it's really easy to reach them compared to other groups, and I think it's a great playground for me to just build some skill, get some experience with simple ideas, test them. And I'll keep you updated as soon as I make progress on that front. But next, I would like to focus on a project that actually is able to make money, because after all, this was the that's the whole point, right? I don't want to be a hobby hacker or whatever. I want to learn how to build profitable businesses. And so I'm not looking to make big money. I would be happy if the next project makes just a dollar, really. So this is my goal for the next project. And to be honest, I've not decided what it will be. I'm toying around with different ideas and trying to figure out what could work. And I've two experiments I'm currently running, and I've coded different stuff, and I'm just using it myself, because I think if I don't find it useful for myself, then there's no point in polishing it to a point where I can share it with others, because it's really easy to build something, or it's much easier to build something that you just use yourself, right? And this is how I currently try to validate whether my idea is any good. And then, yeah, it's a lot of work to put something that you built just for yourself into a larger framework that is actually usable for any user. And so far, I've not found an idea where I would like to make that commitment, but there's also still quite some time. And yeah, I'll report as soon as one of the ideas is a winner. And in terms of maybe in terms of success of my first project, I should mention, as I already said, I didn't make any money because there's no monetization. Would have been really easy to make some money because I could have just added affiliate links to Amazon, because I have links to Amazon for the books that are listed on Amazon. But I didn't include affiliate links just because, yeah, I didn't want to give a false impression for my first project. So it's really not a money grab or whatever. And I know that I wouldn't have made a lot of money and never will make a lot of money with MakerReads. It's really just a passion project. And to make clear to users immediately, yeah, I didn't included any type of monetization, no ads, no affiliate links, nothing. It's just a passion project. And yeah, it's always possible to argue whether or not this is the correct decision, but at least it felt to me as if it would be the right thing to do. And maybe, yeah, in the future, I will focus more on making money. But just for the first project, I think that is perfectly okay. And so far, so much on the project front. And I discussed in earlier episodes so that launching products is just one cornerstone. So launching and building products is just one of the cornerstones I want to focus on, one of the things I want to learn. And additionally, I want to read books, I want to learn, I want to solidify my learning by sharing what I've learned in the form of this podcast, but also by writing blog posts. And I want to learn how to generate great ideas and also how to do marketing right by focusing on Twitter, for example. And I have to admit that on these fronts, it's not going very well so far. I've not been able to develop a consistent reading schedule. So I've read some books, but it weren't books that appeared on my reading list. So I reverted back to my usual reading habit, which is just reading whatever I want. And I read a really great book. It's called The Launchpad. It's about Y Combinator, and it's a great book. But yeah, it wasn't on my reading schedule, for example, and I really have to get better at sticking to my reading goals. And yeah, I'm not sure how I will be able to do this, whether I should really reserve an hour a day for reading or whatever. I have to think about it. But just as an update, so it's not going as planned. I'm reading, but not the stuff I should be reading, probably. on the other hand, I always feel that it's a good idea to go at least to some extent where the passion is. And if I'm really excited about a book, I will just read it. And if I'm not passionate about something, I simply will not read it, because it's like in school, right? If you don't care about what the teacher is saying, then you are not learning anything anyway. So, yeah. It's not going as planned, but I'm not totally unhappy about it, because I still feel that I'm making progress. My reading is not as focused as I would like it to be, but still, yeah, let's see. I will try to get back on track, but if I don't, I won't be too unhappy, at least if my next project succeeds, right? So similarly, the ideation and marketing, my ideation and marketing efforts are also not that successful as I would like them to be. So I was able to write down a lot of ideas. So I didn't write down 5 ideas each day, but on many days I was able to write down 5 ideas. And now I have this huge list of ideas. To be honest, I'm not really sure what I should do with it, because of course there are lots of stupid ideas on them, and you immediately notice that these ideas are stupid. But there are also lots of great ideas, and I can just keep looking at them. And yeah, that would be a cool idea, and that would be a cool idea. And where do you start? And eventually you have to commit, right? And I really haven't figured out how to do this. So because, yeah, I'm not sure how other people do it. So it's, again, analysis paralysis to some extent, that I have several ideas where I can see myself doing it. So I'm able to do it. It would take some time, but probably would be worth the effort. And I just have to commit, but I'm not sure where exactly I should commit my time most effectively. And again, I've so far, like for my reading schedule, trusted my gut and just picked 2 projects where I'm most passionate about, and just built this little prototypes that I can use myself. And in the coming weeks, I will just see whether or not they are actually useful for myself. And if they are, I will be happy to spend more time to build them into a real product that other people can use. And maybe this is the right thing to do, maybe not. But yeah, the good thing is that I have lots of ideas in my backlog that I could theoretically do. So I won't run out of ideas. So much is clear already. And I will probably have to do a bit more reading on ideation and validation of ideas, because again, as with my reading, it's not very systematic so far. I just go through the list and then try to figure out, would I be passionate, excited about building this, sharing this with others, and then I go about it. But yeah, I will probably continue doing this for the next months, and then I will try to shift back to something more systematic, hopefully. And lastly, also, when it comes to marketing, I wasn't really able to stick to my schedule, but still things went far better than I had expected. So if you listen to the previous episode, you probably remember that my plan was to really develop a consistent schedule. I wanted to tweet, for example, 2 a day. I wanted to put out blog posts regularly and all this kind of stuff. And well, I still have a hard time using Twitter, probably, I think. And I did some reading. I had a look at different resources in order to understand how to use it properly. And maybe the most important thing I did was I spent far too much time doing extensive research into the tweet behavior of other indie makers. So I made a list of all the people where I think they are really good at Twitter, which have a really strong Twitter game, like Peter Levels, for example. And then I had a look at their best tweets. So I sorted them by popularity, the number of likes and retweets, and tried to find patterns. So I did this for many of the top indie makers, solo developers, and the people that I admire and want to learn from. And then I try to find patterns in their successful tweets. And yeah, it's quite surprisingly, there are clear patterns. So there are just a few categories of tweets that really do well consistently. And maybe if you spend some time on Twitter, you probably know what I'm talking about. But the best tweets are almost, for all indie makers, the ones where they share success stories, where they share, I did this and this resulted in Y. So it's always important that they share a success and then they share also the numbers that are associated with it. For example, when Peter Levels tweets that he, I don't know, makes $40,000 per month with remote okay, with his job board, then he will gather like 1,000 likes. And a regular tweet from him gets maybe 10 likes, right? So these are really always the tweets that get the most engagement. And I then asked myself what kind of tweet I enjoy myself the most. And this is really consistent with this observation, because I personally enjoy most when people do interesting stuff and talk about it. And there are other categories of tweets that also do well, not as well as when people share their journey and successes and share numbers publicly. But still, there are other categories like the famous platitudes that people put out, and also this comforting, you can do it too type of tweets. And also, of course, there are sometimes really creative types of tweets that go viral. But yeah, I personally just like when people do interesting stuff and share and talk about it. And so I then decided that this is really what I should be doing, right? I should be focusing on doing interesting stuff, and then I will tweet when there is something to share about it. And so through my analysis, I think I understand pretty well what you could be doing in order to grow your Twitter following or whatever. But yeah, this is not really my goal, right? So my goal is not to grow as big as possible, but just to connect with the right kind of people. And this is why I want to focus on the right kind of tweets, which are the tweets that I would like to read myself. And so I personally just don't like the platitudes. I don't like these, you can do it too, rah, rah, rah type of tweets. And I don't follow people who put these type of tweets out there regularly. I just like the content of people who really primarily do stuff, and just as a byproduct, sometimes they put out a tweet to say, hey, here's something new from me. And yeah, this is also the Twitter mode I want to enter. I will not tweet as regularly as would be optimal in order to grow a large following, but this is not my goal. I am just on Twitter to connect with the right kind of people. And so I will focus on my journey. I will focus on building stuff that other people find useful. And then I will share stuff that is directly related to it. And I think this is also what a lot of people are doing wrong, because there are clearly levels on Twitter. So I'm not sure if other people, if someone has already talked about it, but this is something I noticed, because a lot of beginners try to emulate the big guys. So the big guys are people with 10,000 of followers. And there's this cliche that all big accounts eventually turn into fortune cookie accounts. So they just start tweeting out stuff that could equally be in a fortune cookie, right? And yeah, it's a real phenomenon. If you have a look at the big accounts, and there are really just a small number of big accounts who managed to keep their voice consistent from their humble beginnings to where they are now. And I then noticed it for myself that I find it really annoying or kind of laughable or ridiculous if there are these small accounts that no one really knows something about. It's just a name and a picture and 50 followers, and you don't know if they ever did anything in the real world, and they start putting out grand advice and fortune cookie type style tweets. It's just not working. And I think this is also related to an observation by Noel Redwickant, that he once mentioned that he was always willing to share his advice, but people simply never listened before he got external success. So only once he was rich, people started to listen to him. I think this is also true on Twitter, that if you're just starting out, it's more important to do stuff in the real world and just use Twitter as a tool to document your journey. And later, if you have the credentials, if you're bigger and have done stuff in the real world, then if you like, you can start putting out these advice type of tweets, fortune cookies, whatever. At least, of course, I'm not an expert by any means, but this is just what I noticed from my own research, which I spent far too much time on, and I'm not really sure what I will do with it. So far, I'm just using it for myself to have these kind of conclusions that, firstly, there are levels to do Twitter, and in the beginning, you should focus on a specific type of tweet and don't try to emulate the big guys instead. Yeah, the most important stuff you can do is building great stuff and then sharing your journey. So this is what I will do. And yeah, as with the other things, I'm already changing my plans so early in the journey. But as the saying goes, right, all plans are useless, but planning is everything. And the fact alone that I have a plan allows me to reflect on these kind of issues, like with my reading schedule, with picking the right kind of project, but also with marketing efforts. And I'm perfectly happy to change my plans if I really thought about it and made a decision that it's the right thing to do. So I will, I won't try to tweet as regularly as I originally planned to do, because it's really not the kind of thing I want to do. I don't want to turn into this kind of Twitter account, Twitter persona, whatever. I want to be a bootstrap entrepreneur. This is what I'm trying to achieve, and so I will focus on that. On the other hand, I clearly have the problem that I enjoy tinkering far too much, so I really can spend days, even weeks, in my little cave and just code and build little projects and don't care about anything else. And this isn't optimal either. So it's really important, I think, at least for an introvert like me, to push myself to put stuff out there and at least somewhat regularly get in contact with people. So I will try to share stuff regularly, though this plan is certainly not changed, but I will not try to tweet as regularly and write blog posts as regularly as I originally planned, because especially now, as I'm just starting out, building stuff is more important, and this is where I'm putting my energy now. And yeah, let's see how it goes. I will report the next steps, how it went, probably in around 4 weeks. And thanks a lot for joining me. And if you're interested in updates in the meantime, the best way to get them is to follow me on Twitter, because as you probably noticed by now, I would try to use it as a kind of personal journal to describe a little my day-to-day stuff. So this is really a place where you should be looking for smaller updates from me. And again, the big updates will be happening in terms of this podcast. And if you have any kind of feedback, also feel free to send me a message either on Twitter, where my DMs are open, or also you can just write me an email, and my email address is on my website, jacobgreenfeld.com. Thanks again for joining me. Bye-bye.